WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The January 6th House Committee wraps up its work by sending criminal referrals against former President Trump to the Justice Department. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The panel's referral of four criminal counts against the former president and the suggestion that a deeper criminal investigation could lead to two more charges are merely lawmakers' recommendations to federal prosecutors. For the moment, the Justice Department is declining to comment. In recent weeks, special counsel Jack Smith has subpoenaed several state elections officials seeking records of any communications they had with Trump or those around him who'd suggested the election had been stolen.
A heads up if you plan to travel later this week. The Midwest is in for a winter blast with blizzard conditions possible. And CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says that's not all.
You've got brutal winds for the East Coast for Friday and then a flash freeze where temperatures drop an incredible amount, 30, 40, 50 degrees in a span of a matter of hours and probably about 12 hours. And then you could even get a coating of snow. So basically, if you are traveling Thursday or Friday in the eastern half of the U.S., you should expect delays or cancellations.
The Supreme Court temporarily blocks Wednesday's lifting of the pandemic-era immigration policy known as Title 42. It comes after a challenge by Republican-led states. There's still concern about the wave of migrants making their way to the U.S. CBS's Omar Villafranca in El Paso.
The Biden administration's plan to handle this influx involves more resources to process the migrants faster.
Yo te doy un ride aquí a Chicago.
More buses to move them to cities like Denver and New York, and making requesting asylum more difficult.
We're hearing from Jane Doe number one, who is the accuser of Harvey Weinstein, who has been found guilty of rape by a Los Angeles jury. More from CBS's Matt Piper.
In a statement to CBS News, Jane Doe number one says, "Harvey Weinstein forever destroyed a part of me that night in 2013, and I will never get that back. I hope he never sees the outside of a prison cell during his lifetime."
Weinstein is 2 years into a 23-year sentence for a rape and sexual assault conviction in New York that is under appeal. The B-2 bomber pauses operations to check aircraft safety after an in-flight emergency on 1 day ago.
Stand down has forced the cancellation of at least one high-profile mission. A scheduled flyover of the Rose Bowl parade and Rose Bowl on January 2nd of the new year. A B-1 bomber will conduct the flyover instead. David Martin, CBS News, The Pentagon.
A suspected serial burglar has been caught stealing Christmas presents from actor Robert De Niro's Manhattan rental home. Officers had been tracking the suspect and caught her around 2:45 this morning. The actor, who had been upstairs, came down to the living room as she was being arrested. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 20th. In Wood County, the Civil Service Commission will meet at 9 a.m. in the courthouse in room 114. The Wood County Board of Supervisors will meet at 9:30 a.m. at the Courthouse Branch 3 County Boardroom. The Jail Construction Ad Hoc Committee meeting will take place at 10 a.m. at the Courthouse Safety Conference Room 105. The Land Information Council will meet at 11 a.m. at the Courthouse in Room 115. The Wisconsin Rapids Zoning Board of Appeals will meet at 2 p.m. at the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Wisconsin Rapids Common Council will meet at 6 p.m. at the City Hall Council Chambers. In Portage County, the Security and Facilities Committee will meet at 1:30 p.m., the Highway Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m., and the County Board will meet at 5 p.m. In Adams County, the County Board of Supervisors will meet from 6 to 8 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 10 above. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 12 tomorrow. Lows around 6 below tomorrow night. 1 to 2 inches of snow overnight with another 4 to 8 inches Wednesday through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 15.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
You've done a lot of interviews over the years. I've had some real clunkers. Has there ever been one where you were just like, this did not turn out like I hoped that it would?
And there was kind of a lull in the conversation, and he's nodding, and he's nodding, and he fell asleep. And boy, the only did I feel stimulating.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada. Hello, Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Ridgeland Center, Waukesha, everyone streaming, everyone on the app, and everyone listening to the podcast later. We are back.
Yes, we are.
So for anyone who makes it, thank you to anyone who is a regular listener to this broadcast. And you know, you were not suffering from deja vu last Tuesday through Friday. Those were reruns because, unfortunately, the COVID wiped Jane and I out.
Escaped it all this time.
I know. It was Jane, if you were watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you might notice that Danger Lady Jane is still masked up because you're feeling better.
Much better.
But you're isolated in your producer booth with your mask on because you're still positive.
I tested twice today. I tested once this morning. You know, you could order those at-home tests a few months back. So, and I double-checked the expiration date. And when it came up positive this morning, I thought, it's an old test. It's got to be wrong. So I came out, did some news, got that done, went to Walgreens, picked up some more tests with my mask on. Came back and tested again, and yes, I am still positive.
But you're feeling better.
I'm feeling so much better. I just think it's my naturally positive outlook on life, Kristen.
I think that's true. I think that's why. And I'm the cynic, which is why I tested negative yesterday. That's clearly the swapped roles that
we're obviously.
And so, but yeah, so sorry for the late notice. Sorry if you felt like we were tricking you. I did not have the energy to even social media at all last week. I was a zombie, and I finally started to feel better midday Friday, stayed home all weekend, and now I'm starting to feel back to normal. But that's what happens. Life happens sometimes. And so we're back. We're starting to feel better. We have a great show this today. We have a great show. This show is set up for this week.
We do.
Happy Monday and happy Hanukkah for everyone who celebrates.
Right.
It started last night, the 8-day Jewish Festival of Lights, and it ends on December 26th. I think we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And also on Wednesday, we're talking to someone from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation to talk about the Light the Hone project they're doing and anti-Semitism awareness and the Holocaust and a bunch of things that feels very timely to coincide with Hanukkah this week. And we're back today, but we also, starting at 12, will cut to a live broadcast of the final January 6th hearings. And so you can look forward to that if you are want to hear it and you're in your car. And we will air that the whole thing.
Yep.
And if it cuts... If they end it before our show is over, campaign strategist, Democratic campaign extraordinaire Joe Sapecki is going to join us as soon as the hearing is over to break down not only what they say today, but also what has this been? 7 months? 8 months? When the first one happened in May?
Gosh, it's so long ago. It might have been in spring.
I think it was in spring when the first one that was in primetime. And so this has been months. And now that as far as we know, this is the final one. What does it all mean? And especially coming out of the midterms are over, you know, the red wave that wasn't, but there are obviously the House is being taken over by the Republicans and what they're going to start to investigate. Being Hunter Biden and whatever their agenda and priorities are. But what does this actually mean now that the House committee is coming to an end, and where do we go from here? So Joe Sapecki is going to join us unless the hearing goes until 2, and then we'll get handed over to either Luke and Brian.
Yep.
On Dueling Tangents, and they'll talk you through it. Otherwise, Chad Holmes up in Wausau. And so at 12, we're going to cut to that. But ahead of time, we're still got this full hour because there was a lot of headlines that we missed. And so I'm excited to dive into all of them. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the World Cup. Because that was a storybook ending.
What a game.
What a game. Sheesh. And so we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. And then other headlines at 11:30 that caught my eye. But I think just to spend a couple minutes kind of even trying to refresh myself on like what's going to happen today with the January 6th thing. So it's the final hearing today. And the panel, as far as I understand, is expected to make referrals for a number of individuals that they allege... have committed crimes during the 2021 storming of the Capitol. And so, but a reminder that all of their referrals are non-binding. And so they carry no legal weight, but instead act as a recommendation from the panel to the Justice Department. And it's up to them and Merrick Garland if they're going to take any further action.
Right.
And so the report so far suggests that the panel is going to vote on issuing a criminal referral for former President Donald Trump. And it's on three different charges: conspiracy, fraud, and insurrection. And so the panel is then also expected to consider charges for other individuals, but I'm not sure that any of those have been identified yet. Do you know of any that have been identified as potential recommended charges to be filed against?
No. All I can think of is, we do know the Republicans predominantly who asked for pardons.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't think that we know any recommendations of any other individuals from this committee yet.
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 And so, so the panel is going to be disbanded. What we know is that it's at the end of this congressional session, this committee, as it stands today, will be disbanded. And that comes January 2nd. And then special counsel Jack Smith will determine whether he's going to pursue charges or not. And I guess, how do you feel going into this, Jane? Like, do you feel like it's lost steam? I mean, it's also funny because he's always, in the three that have happened since I started this show, They've all happened during my show. So this is now the third time I've been like, oh, I only have to do an hour today because we're doing the live broadcast. And so I'm ready to not get bumped anymore.
Right. I really do think their findings, though, are critical. And isn't the final report, the full final report, going to be issued this week?
I think so.
So,
and I have, because we're going to talk about this again in the last segment before we cut to January 6th, because there's specifically one element of that final report that I find hilarious. So stick around for that joke and query that I've come up with.
Nice tease.
So stick around till the end of the hour. But I totally understand that it is important to hold people accountable. And a lot of the, I think we've seen so many of the citizens, the average citizen who, whether it's Oath Keepers, different people who actually have now been charged with sedition or conspiracy, and a lot of whom, and not that I don't think that it was good to hold them accountable as well, but it also is, if those are the only people who get held accountable in this whole thing, who arguably were just pawns and fell into a bigger narrative, false narrative, that was perpetuated not just by the former guy, but also his minions.
Well, and look at how many members of Congress.
Yeah. And isn't it over the weekend that Marjorie Taylor Greene said if she and Bannon had actually been in charge, they would have actually, it would have been a successful insurrection?
Oh, yeah, because they would have been armed.
I can't believe she said that.
But look at, she's,
I
mean, getting, but
I guess I can.
She's getting, she gets rewarded for making comments like this. Because if McCarthy is made speaker, which still seems up in the air to me.
Yeah, I need to catch up on that too.
He's going to appoint her to committees. And so it doesn't seem to matter what outrageous things she says, or sort of like someone else that used to be in office.
Yeah.
There just don't ever seem to be any ramifications for that.
Well, so I do think it's important, even though it feels like this has gone on for so long and people's attention spans are so short. And I think the how is this going to affect the midterms question has been solved because the midterms are over. And
right.
We know how that turned out as far as it was, I think, a check on extremism as far as how many election deniers did lose. But it does feel like it's kind of lost steam, and I don't know what the ratings, not that the ratings matter, but if you think about how many people watched that primetime first one versus seven, eight months later, how many people are going to be tuning in today to see what happens besides just political junkies, will be interesting. But like I said, we're going to talk about this a little bit before it actually starts at 12 p.m. And then if the hearings end while we're still on air, Joe Zepecki will be here to talk us through it. But for now, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the World Cup because it was so awesome. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
The lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the
the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Yeah.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
You know what it is.
Hiya, hiya.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, well, well. So I woke up after a long night's rest because I was recovering from COVID on Saturday. Very excited to watch the final World Cup match after a month of games. And I just feel like yesterday's game was the reason we love sports.
I think you make an excellent point.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I know you're not the biggest sports ball fan. I am a big sports fan. I'm certainly not the biggest sports fan, largely because I have lots of interests. And so going so deep on any one thing is not my forte. But the reason I just feel like there's a reason why ESPN's like 30 for 30s are so successful. Those documentaries about different sports stories. Because sports just provide these real, like the storytelling of sports in the true way that they come about, and the whether it's underdogs, whether it's this like storybook ending for Messi, like, and the game itself. And I don't pretend to know the history of the World Cup and how, like, I can't recall which games and the finals and stuff. Like, I was very invested in 2018 because, as I said, I was dating someone who
sure.
is French, so he was very let down yesterday. I did not check in on him because he is next. But before that, I'd watched the games, but it wasn't a high priority. But everything I've read is that this was yesterday one of the best World Cup finals in history.
Just look at the score.
And so you watched.
I did.
You and Paul watched.
Yeah, we did.
So if you didn't watch the game, if you did, the first half felt like, wow, well, crap, like Argentina may just walk away with this, because they not even going into halftime, up until like 11 minutes left in regulation time, Argentina was up 2-0.
It looked like it was done.
And it seemed like they were going to sail to the title. But then Kylian Mbappe, who I feel like is if Messi right now is the GOAT, I feel like how young Mbappe is, because I think he's only like 22. Like, his future could be similar to that of Messi's because he's so good.
Yeah, he was amazing.
So he also won the Golden Boot. So with 11 minutes left in regulation time, Mbappe scored. And then within 2 minutes, France scored again.
It was incredible.
And it was, and so all of a sudden they were tied, and it sent things into to extra time. And so then in extra time, Messi scored again, and then Mbappe scored again. And it's the first time in the Men's World Cup that there was a final hat trick since 1966.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then we went to maybe, I guess hockey also does
hat tricks.
Not hat tricks, but they do final shootouts. Like, okay. If there's a tie, right?
Yes, shootout, yep.
So there is something, because like I'm used to the sports I played, there's overtime. And you basically, in basketball, you just keep playing overtime until somebody wins. Football, I feel like every year they change the overtime rules in the NFL. But there's something about overtime in soccer that where it goes, if it goes past that one overtime or extended time, you then go to penalty kicks. And like the penalty kicks, it's just the fact that France was blocked and the other guy missed it. And so by the time Argentina, who kicked first, got their fourth goal in penalty kicks, it was just, it was over. And, you know, for Messi, who has always been considered one of the best to ever do it, had not won the World Cup. And so on his last World Cup, he won.
It was,
and you just can't, fiction isn't this good, right? Of how it turned out for him. And I feel like, I think I said in, and it was certainly wasn't last week because I was sick, but along this journey of the World Cup, I've said, all right, as soon as the U.S. is out, I'm going to root for the underdogs. And certainly Argentina wasn't the underdog, but it's been so long since they won. And France won last year, every last time.
And France, I think, I'm pretty sure, was favored to win.
I don't
know.
Oh, that game. Well, in the rankings going into the World Cup, Argentina was 3 and France was 4.
Okay.
I think, was England 1?
Could have been.
But certainly I saw on social media Buenos Aires, like a video from some high rise in Buenos Aires.
Oh, yeah.
After the first goal was scored, and the entire people just, you could hear the collective sound of the capital city of Argentina, just people in their houses roaring of how excited. That wasn't even the end of the game. That was just the first goal, and just the entire city making noise. It was so cool.
It really was.
And, you know, what's exciting is we only have 213 days until the Women's World Cup. And so that is less than a year away. And obviously, the U.S. women's team is going to be defending their championship. And that's going to be in Australia and New Zealand. And the thing for us is the next Men's World Cup in 2026, it's less about how you can watch on TV and more about what game do you want to go to, because it's going to be in North America. Do you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. North America being that there's going to be...
Oh, there's going to be a number of
Vancouver
venues.
Vancouver and Toronto.
Right.
Mexico City and maybe one other Mexican city. And then I think there's 9 different cities in the U.S. I think Chicago's on there, I would think. I have to go check that. But 2026, you might be able to go to an actual World Cup game without having to leave the country. So pretty exciting. And it was a great game. It was a great game. Even if you're not a soccer fan, it was what sports stories are made out of. So
happy for Messi.
Me too. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, some other headlines that caught our eye over the weekend. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny.
The Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby and his distinguished guests for this Christmas Eve.
Be our guests for the WFHR tradition of 30 hours of Christmas. Starting at noon on Christmas Eve, enjoy 30 hours of old-time radio, classic Christmas music, and special broadcasts of the Sunshine Polka Show, Seth Faces the Music, and Director's Cut. Exclusively on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, it's a Merry Christmas from all of us at WFHR, locally grown radio.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Marshfield Fire Department is in the tough position of needing to charge for their response services. They never have in the past, but starting next year, they will need to charge for services including fire inspections, false alarms, car crashes, fires, and vehicle extraction. Charges will be determined on a case-by-case basis, but they estimate a car crash requiring passenger extraction from the vehicle could cost up to $1,000. City leaders say they had no choice but to implement charges due to growing budget issues and a lack of state funding, as well as keeping up with inflation. We're keeping an eye on the potential for a winter storm that could complicate people's holiday travel plans in Wisconsin. The storm could start Wednesday night and last into Friday. After that, temperatures are forecast to plunge into highs in the single digits into the Christmas holiday weekend. In sports, the Packers host the Rams tonight. The Bucks are at New Orleans. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 10 above. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 12 tomorrow. Lows around 6 below tomorrow night. 1 to 2 inches of snow overnight with another 4 to 8 inches Wednesday through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
Always, at least for this hour, you can join the conversation. Shoot us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789. So, we missed a lot last week.
We did. There was news last week.
There was news last week. And so, I grabbed some of the things a mix of things that I think were interesting and worth talking about today. Some of the stuff that's a little more evergreen, like nuclear fusion energy.
Who doesn't want to talk about
but
that?
It seems like a very big deal, but is a little beyond my how much I studied science in high school and college. That seems like a very big deal, but I feel like we'll have time to talk more about that. But one of the things that happened on Friday, so this is the final week of the 117th Congress before the next iteration takes over on January 3rd. And they've accomplished a lot in the last 2 years, but they still need to pass a $1.7 trillion bill this week that would fund the government through September. And that's after they had to extend it. And so President Biden last Friday signed a short-term budget deal hammered out by Congress that narrowly avoided a government shutdown. And so who doesn't want to spend the week before Christmas trying to negotiate and pass a bill to keep the government running?
You would think, because we are here every 2 years. We're here.
I know.
We're always here. It's such a deja vu thing. And you would think, I'm assuming that work had been going on this before this, but you don't know.
Yeah. So we have a week, but it means that the shutdown could come at Christmas.
Which would be terrible.
Which would be terrible. And so I think we'll keep up this week goes on, because this is one of those things that feels probably complicated, but all the different like negotiating things that are happening. I know Ukraine is a big deal. I think the military aspect of this. So
I thought that was done already.
I think that's done.
They got 858.
Well, they always do.
I mean,
right?
It's like tons of money.
So we'll keep up with that throughout the week as far as if this will be a running or non-running Christmas in D.C. As two animal lovers, Jane, I think you're going to like this story. So this is in New York. They are taking the pet out of pet shops.
Oh.
So last week, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, did I pronounce that right?
I think so.
She signed legislation that bans the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits in physical pet stores in all New York State. And so they are not the first state to do this. California, Illinois, Maryland, and a handful of other states have been trying to stamp out inhumane pet breeders, which most, if not all, pet stores are usually getting their pets from puppy mills.
Yes.
And not from, you know, certified, qualified breeders who take care of their dogs and take care of their puppies. But a recent study found that some New York pet stores get pups from breeding facilities that violated a number of USDA regulations. And so this was in an age of partisanship, this was a bipartisan bill in the New York legislature. It was voted on, I don't know if it was unanimous, but it was like, it flew through.
Oh, that's wild.
The legislature.
That never happens anymore.
I know. So they had a lot of bipartisan support. And shockingly, the only pushback they got was from the pet stores themselves, because they said this ban would put them out of business. And my opinion is, if the only way to stay in business is to be in partnership with puppy mills who are violating USDA regulations, maybe you shouldn't be in business.
I don't know this for certain, but I find that really hard to believe, that their fortunes are dependent upon actually selling puppies and kittens and bunnies. What about all the food they sell?
Well,
what
also,
about all
like,
the
what
toys?
Margins are, what margins do they have on these puppies?
Right.
That what they're buying them for and what they're selling them for, that's what's keeping the lights on.
I find that really hard to believe.
Yeah. And so New Yorkers can still, I mean, this is actually doesn't go through, and it doesn't actually start until 2024. So it's two more years that these places can stay in business or figure out their business model. But New Yorkers can still, as can we here, adopt animals from shelters or buy directly from breeders. I wonder if this would ever get traction in Wisconsin. I know a lot of people, we get a lot of rescues from the South in Wisconsin, because I think there's no kill shelters here, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. Not anymore.
That's where Cliff's from. Big Cliff's from Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Barkley was from Tennessee.
There you go. So, so I think that is, I'm in favor of this New York new rule.
If puppy mills were not as horrific as they are, but they are, and for people who aren't familiar with them, all you can just Google and see some pretty horrific conditions that these animals have been raised in. So
yeah, moving on to some Wisconsin news. I know, was this how we started last week or was this 2 weeks ago that we discussed that the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party was not paid? And my shock about that. Well, since we were out last week, the Republican Party of Wisconsin met. They have both voted in a new chairperson, and also they voted to pay this person. But I just wanted to quickly talk about it because I thought the Cap Times out of Madison had an interesting op-ed about this person. So it's Brian Schimming, who was a political, he's been very involved.
He's apparently been around a long time.
So this is the first time, because I'm less savvy about the people who are kind of behind the scenes in the Republican Party, but he has 30 years of experience in grassroots organizing throughout Wisconsin, and he's been involved in multiple Republican campaigns. I think he most recently worked on Ron Johnson's campaign, and he also has worked in state government. But I thought this was interesting from the Cap Times and their editorial board. Kind of wrote a hopeful op-ed about him being named the chairman because, they referenced in the op-ed how on statewide elections, Republicans have not done super well in the last couple cycles. And so this is what they said that I just thought was interesting. So Schimming is well known within the Wisconsin Republican Party and within the broader political circles of the state. He is well regarded even by rivals and foes because he has a reputation as a knowledgeable and engaged political figure who enjoys honest debate. Perhaps we are doing Schimming no favors by suggesting, as a new newspaper that so frequently disagrees with today's Republicans, that his selection to serve as state GOP chair would be a hopeful development for Wisconsin politics. But we would like to entertain this prospect. Schimming is a product of the Thompson-era Republican Party, which at its best erred on the side of positive appeals as opposed to cutthroat strategies that have tended to characterize recent Republican campaigns. We don't for a moment expect that we will agree on those appeals, but we believe that a robust clash of ideas could give Wisconsin a healthier politics. Brian Schimming surely understands this reality, and we hope that he will convince his party to act upon it. So that's not heartbreaking news, but as far as a paper that is seeing the scope of what the Republican Party has and how it's changed since Tommy Thompson was governor in this state, casting wishful sentiments that maybe he would look at the midterms and 2020 and potentially think maybe the extremist attitudes for the Wisconsin Republican Party isn't working and maybe we should work together more. I don't know. Maybe.
One can hope.
Similarly, last week, the Milwaukee County Board has basically kicked the can a little bit more. They approved a policy that could either demolish or renovate the domes.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
So they have until July, so it's still in limbo, but
this breaks my heart.
I know. But it's also one of those things. I have not been to the domes since I moved back to Wisconsin. I will say my sister-in-law and my niece, they go a lot, but I don't know if they're single-handedly keeping it open. But I do agree that it'd be a shame to not figure out a way to keep those because they're so special.
They are special, but I don't see how it's salvageable anymore.
I know.
It has, again, this can has been kicked down the road for decades. And nobody wants to, it's like, let's.
Don't we have some rich people who could just come in and like.
Yes, but
this is, feels like what the oligarchy and the people who like want to fund things that they care about. I feel like there's some kind of rich person in Wisconsin who can come in and just save it, right?
And swoop in and save it. I can only imagine that they're going to have to reimagine it somehow.
Yeah.
Because this model is
the
too
dome.
Old.
Just make it singular.
Well, the dome. I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
No, but I think, it just doesn't draw like it used to. It just doesn't. It isn't the unique you know, fascinating thing anymore. And there's too many other options. I just don't see how it can survive in its current form. They got to do something else.
Yeah. Well,
they got to sex up the dome.
Sex it up. So Wisconsin in the Wild, the newest Miss America.
This is cool.
Is Miss Wisconsin. The nuclear nerd is how she refers to herself. Grace Stanky. I think I'm pronouncing that right. That's her how she calls herself on Instagram.
Nuclear nerd.
Nuclear nerd. She's a 20-year-old from Wausau, Wisconsin, and she grew up competing in scholarship-based pageants. And she's an advocate for clean energy sources. And so on Thursday, she was the 95th winner of the Miss America competition.
Wow.
She won $50,000 in a cash scholarship.
Good for her.
She's a senior at UW-Madison and is studying to become a nuclear engineer. And,
as one does.
I think maybe we should try to get her on to explain the nuclear fusion breakthrough.
Definitely.
Last week. So, but seriously, I think today I'm going to reach out and see if we can squeeze into her probably very busy schedule now and try to get her on the show, because she sounds so smart and this is so cool. And I think it also shows how much the Miss America pageant has changed and evolved from being just a beauty contest into really, it's so focused on scholarships. I think it's so focused on academic prowess and more than just the bikini competition. And so I'm hoping that we can get her on the show, because I think
that'd
be really, really fun. And then finally, the Packers are back. The Packers play tonight against the Los Angeles Rams. And I didn't realize, we haven't played it at home in over a month.
Gosh, has it been that long?
We've been playing at home since November 17th.
Wow.
And so we're hoping. I still don't know what the all needs to happen for us to actually potentially go get into the playoffs. But obviously winning tonight would be part of it. And the good news is the Packers are 8-0 at home in December and January during regular season games under Matt LaFleur. I was supposed to go tonight's game. We had gotten tickets, or we'd gotten our family's tickets to go. And I think I made the smart move of saying, after getting over being very sick, to not go sit in 15-degree weather.
Is it even going to be 15 degrees?
It might be colder, because if you haven't heard, there's an Arctic blast coming up this week.
Coming our
across
way.
Across the whole country.
Yeah.
It's the coldest weather of the season. 270 million people in the lower 48 states will experience temperatures of 32 degrees Fahrenheit or below. And I think for us in Wisconsin, it's going to be a lot more below than that.
Next weekend's going to be brutal. It really is.
God, so it's a good weekend to have the holidays and not have to leave your house.
Exactly.
Because, so I've opted to sacrifice my ticket to a friend, and they will be going up with Mike and his sister. And two of our friends are going with Mike and his sister, and I will be home watching the game at home from the warmth of my couch.
Nice. With Cliffy on your lap.
Now, exactly.
I'm sorry, but I can't. I just think that's, yes, good.
Yeah, I think I made the right move. And I said that to Mike this morning. He goes, I think we shouldn't get the December tickets. He goes, don't be such a wuss.
Oh.
It's like every year we have to go to one nice game and then one game in December and roll the dice. And I was like, do we hurt?
Do we really
maybe
have
maybe
to?
Maybe you can just do that.
I think that's a good arrangement for the newly married.
Yeah. Maybe you could take
you
those
can do
games.
That.
I'm not sure. I'm
be my guest.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're going to take another break and then set up a little bit more for the January 6th hearings before we cut to that at noon. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers.
I can taste the melody inside your lips, so sweet, so tender, and I know I'm just a still inside.
Linda and the Zeros.
It's too hot.
Porky's Groove Machine. Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To walk to Janesville, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
But if you like our show, tell your friends. We are a growing show on a growing network, so you can always help us out by spreading the word, sharing the podcast on Spotify or Apple, or liking us on social media and sharing our posts. I've been doing a new thing where every day while I sit in the parking lot before I come into the studio, I try to do a quick TikTok on previewing what's coming up on today's show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's fun.
And unscripted, too. I give you a lot of credit for being able to wing that in your car.
Sometimes I flub over my words, but, you know, we do it. So, in 10 minutes, for the last time, it should be the last time, because literally it's being disbanded.
Yes, it's going to be the last time.
It is the end of the January 6th hearings. So for the more than a year, a House Select Committee has been probing the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and there's been 10 hearings. I didn't realize there were spent that many.
Gosh, I didn't think it was 10.
But the lawmakers have presented their findings with more than 1,000 interviews, and they've maintained that former President Trump carried out an effort to overturn the 2020 election. And today, the committee is holding its final hearing. So I think, as we said earlier in today's show, the agenda is they're expected to vote on criminal referrals against Trump, including obstruction, insurrection, and conspiracy. It's also expected to make referrals against the former Trump's allies to various authorities, which could include the Justice Department, the House of Ethics Committees, and others. And then also on the to-do list, I guess, is the preview of the committee's 8-chapter report detailing all of their findings, which is set to drop Wednesday.
Okay.
And yes, it will be available for purchase.
They're not... You have to buy it?
You don't have to buy it. You can buy it. So at least 6 book publishers have announced that they're going to be printing the House panel's report on January 6th.
Oh, I would read it.
So do you think that copies of the January 6th report will sell out as fast as Trump's NFTs?
No.
Do you think it would sell out faster if they dangled the chance to win a dinner with Liz Cheney?
Is that a plus? I'm not sure.
Could you believe we didn't get to talk about this? So we're going to take 2 minutes to talk about it now. Everything about Trump's NFT thing last week
is mind blowing.
The fact that there were so many of us who were like, this is the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And yet simultaneously, it sold out in like a flash and they raised $4.5 million for it. It is the like juxtaposition and conundrum and like mind blowing like everything that is Trump. Right. Because it was like, how would anyone ever be able to do this and not like die of shame. And yet it worked. He knew, he knows his audience.
There's no question about it.
So,
and so do the advisors around him.
Yes. And so, so would you buy, so going back, would you buy the 8-chapter report?
Yeah.
Would you really?
I would.
Don't you think it would be really dense?
Yes.
Would you would just sit down and read it?
I think that there is so much stuff in there that was not addressed during these hearings.
The aired hearings.
The aired hearings. I have a lot of questions about who coordinated some of these buses, who put up these people, who organized these people, who paid for these busloads of people. There's so much that has never been addressed by the committee to date.
But has been reported on.
Yes. Lots of reporting.
Well, I would love, for anyone listening right now, would you buy this once it gets published? This being the 8-chapter report detailing all of the findings from the January 6th committee. And so I don't even know the different book publishers, but they're going to be printing it.
Interesting.
And so text us whether or not you would spend money and spend time to actually read this. 844-967-2789. I appreciate, this is one of those things that I feel like I would say that I'm going to, and then I would never find the time to actually do it, and it would just sit on my shelf. And had it been 10 years ago, it would have moved all 12 times.
Sure.
I've moved over the last decade. It would
sure.
have moved house to house and never actually been opened.
That's a good point. I would like to see how it's written. If it's going to be written like a legal brief, then you're right. Then I probably would not wade through it.
Yeah.
I don't know how good the committee's prose is, if they can write it in a way that's not so technical.
I mean, they can barely talk in a way that's not
we're
going to cut to the broadcast soon,
right.
And I'm going to put it up on C-SPAN so I can watch it and listen to it at the same time. And, you know, they talk. They don't talk like how you and I talk.
That's very true.
So what will be interesting to see is how much this is studied in law schools and different political science, like how this, if that becomes like a first, like a textbook
to study.
That people will be assigned in classes in the decades to come.
Will it depend upon whether or not the Department of Justice decides to issue charges?
That's a good point.
Because if they go through all of this and they go out with a whimper and no charges are filed.
What was the
point?
You
want to use this as for case law?
You know who definitely will read it?
Joe Zepecki.
And Jim Sintel.
See,
they're
printing
it
for someone,
and then
he can come back.
Jim Sintel from the Morning Cannolis on the Civic Media. His show's on Saturdays. We'll have him come back in and summarize the whole thing for us so
exactly.
Then you don't have to read it.
I'm there with you on that.
But what's our countdown, Brian?
We got about 2-3 minutes here.
2-3 minutes, okay.
I mean, left of the show about a minute and a half, but the actual
hearing that starts.
Minutes,
okay. I'm excited to see if there's a big show put on for the ending for the last one. If there's something a big reveal, a big drop, if it's kind of just what she expected to be, and I don't know.
Pyrotechnics might be nice. I'm just saying. I'm just
some
trying
fireworks.
To. Well, just some smoke bombs. Or come on, Liz. You know, Liz Cheney has.
I know.
She,
God, what do you think's next for her?
She's gonna. It'll be global domination.
Do you think she'll run again, or she'll just do things behind the scenes?
I think she'll do things behind the scenes, where she will be even more powerful. Like Voldemort.
Do you think so?
Who knows? But I don't think she's done.
All right. Well, we will be here on standby for when they take a break. We will also be here if they cut the hearing short, and Joe Zepecki will join us to break down what we heard. Stay tuned. The January 6th hearing is coming up next.
This is your land, and you love it.
Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE. Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place.